Our second scripture lesson comes to us today from the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter, and we will begin with verse number 11. Hear the word of God. We therefore set sail from Troas, says Paul, and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. And the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And Lydia prevailed upon us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Not too many women have prevailed upon Paul. And not too many women have carried the day when Paul was on the loose for the Lord. And not too many women have ever faced Paul and upped the ante. But somewhere between a riverside prayer meeting and a conversion and a baptism, a festival of baptisms, came the establishment of a church. Lydia prevailed. She prevailed upon Paul and the traveling apostles to be her guests and to find a port in the storm. Before there was Iona and Rajpur, Tezay or Machu Picchu, before there was El Camino de Santiago or Changhua Qingshan, followers of Jesus found their way to Lydia's home. And it's not just any home. It's a thriving compound located in an epicenter of trade and fortune. And Lydia has a hefty share of the city's prosperity. She's a commercial success, an importer of costly fabrics, a producer of rare textiles. Eric Barreto describes Lydia as an entrepreneur with vision and initiative. She's strikingly self-sufficient, bright, creative, intrepid, industrious. And even though she depends on its adherents to be her customers, she doesn't bow to the religion of the empire. Because in Philippi, it is Caesar who is Lord and God. There are no synagogues, no places for Jews to worship, and any Jew has to go to the river's edge outside of the city to pray. And it seems that that's where Lydia and her friends went to meet. It's a dangerous walk to the river's edge when you want to worship God. Paul, Silas, and Timothy have landed on the shores of Macedonia. It's the Sabbath, and there's talk in the streets, muttering about the goings-on back in Jerusalem, among anxious murmurings about this Redeemer who went into a tomb after crucifixion and came out alive. There's very quiet instructions in the alleys about where to find a prayer meeting outside of the city. And that's just the thing that God's chief apostle wants to hear, Paul. Is on the loose, on the move, and ready to preach. And when he does, Paul preaches through lips that only a short time ago had ordered the stoning of Stephen and the annihilation of any Christian and the eradication of any hint of a resurrected Messiah. But now Paul's words flow because he speaks as one converted by the Damascus Road, altered, persuaded, reformed. He speaks and acts as one converted by Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul. We don't seem to talk a lot about conversion, and we don't readily share about it, our experiences of God's unwrapping our hearts and renovating our spirits. For many of us, it's an intimate and private experience. For some, it happens over the long haul. For some, conversion happens in the blink of an eye, a dramatic, fully realized moment when we know we will never be the same. For two of my sisters-in-law who had never been raised in a church family, it came because someone invited them to church. For me, it came when I was 5 years old, during a kindergarten nativity play, like Wee Christmas that we have here. And I was holding a baby doll Jesus sitting under a manger and rocking this little baby and singing a little lullaby, and something changed. The trajectory of my life changed. I can't explain it. I was only 5 years old, but I remember it, and it had to do with trust. I was moved in this little person that I was to trust that where I was being led is where I would go. And all I could think of now is our God is so surprising. Oh, Lauren. Conversion can seem like a long ago practice, ancient, something that happens to a chosen few, maybe a reward, an act reserved for those in the early church or for those headed to ordination. You will have heard this story many times because I can't step away from it, but Anne Lamott says that her conversion to Christ did not start with a leap, but with a series of struggles and stutters. Everywhere I went, she said, I had a feeling that a cat was following me, wanting me to open the door and let it in. But I knew what would happen. You let a cat in one time, and what happens? You give it a little milk, and then it stays forever. So I tried to keep one step ahead and to slam all the doors in my life. But when I went back to church, she says, I was so hungover that I couldn't stand up for the hymns. But it was as if people were singing between the notes, weeping and joyful at the same time. And I felt like their voices or something was rocking me and holding me and holding me so that I could open up, and a feeling washed over me. And then this is what Anne Lamott says. She says, I hung my head and I said out loud, I quit. This was my beautiful moment of conversion. I took a long breath and I said out loud, all right, you can come in. Oh, Anne. And that's what Lydia says too. Here's an influential woman who hopes for more, needs more, wonders if there's more. And please, before we picture Lydia as a neat, delicate, elegant woman who glides through Philippi, offering a look at tasteful, luxurious fabrics on her arm, she's not. Lydia has dirt on her face and blood on her knuckles, grit in her hair, and she has just spit out a tooth as she rises to go up one more round. Lydia's conversion does not take place in the C-suite of corporate head queue. There's no tidy negotiations for textile distribution and sales. No. Lydia's conversion takes place in the slime of a riverbank, where it's rough and rocky and swampy and waterlogged, and she's got the smell of sulfur in her nostrils and sludge oozing between her toes. And in the middle of the muck and mud, she and all who are dear to her are received into Christ's church. They are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they belong to Christ Jesus forever. And how does she respond? With tenacious hospitality. She prevails upon Paul, of all people, not with a sweet plea or polite appeal, heavens no, but with a triumphant, unwavering summons, come to my house, and her house becomes God's home for traveling evangelists and refugees and new believers, God's home for prayer and meals and rest. And because she prevailed, her home becomes the first church in Europe. Oh, Lydia. Oh, Paul. Oh, Lauren.
Hi, Mommy.
Oh, Anne.
Hi, Mommy.
Oh, Lydia. Oh, Nassau. God has converted us by putting wings on our mission. We're not a delicate, sweet, fragile group of converts who gently beckon Princetonians to luxuriate in the fabric of our pews. No. We've got dirt on our face, grit in our hearts, tenacity in our Holy Spirit, who gives us the gift of hospitality, because that's what it takes to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. It takes placing people who can never repay at the head of the table in the place of honor. It takes the smell of sulfur stinging our nostrils to clear out our sinuses so that we can truth tell in the public square and build bridges between divisions. It takes a willingness, really, to have mud between our toes as we dive into difficult but faithful conversations so that we can do God's work in the community and in our country and in the world. Oh, Nassau, you are Christ's church. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you belong to Christ Jesus forever. And I want to thank you for loving me so deeply, and for loving Josie and Michael, and that for a time together, we have, with God's guidance, we've mended what's been broken, and we've restored some of the lost, and we've comforted the grieving, and we've stitched up the hurt. Such freedom and such beauty and such tenderness.